You are listening to the Bridge Community Church podcast out of Warrenton, Virginia. Our church exists to connect you to God, others, and the marketplace. For more information, you can visit us online at bridge4life.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
And today we're going to continue on in this series on the Gospel of John. I've asked Pastor Lisa to share a message based on the fact that we're looking at connection groups, and she'll be using a passage out of the Gospel of John. Would you give a great welcome to Pastor Lisa this morning?
Thank you so much. And as Pastor Greg said, I will be continuing in our sermon series, Growing in Faith and Truth, the Gospel of John. Would you please stand with me as we read the scripture together? John 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. And God, that we have the opportunity to be able to study your word and to learn from one another. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open our hearts so that we can learn what you want us to learn through this passage today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I love this opportunity to talk today, to preach today about connection groups, because I love connection groups, if you haven't noticed before. But I love this ministry. It is a real passion of mine to speak to folks who we want for you to get connected in the church, because it is what the Lord used in my life to help me. So that's why I'm so passionate about it, because it works, because it worked in my life. And so I know that getting involved in a connection group with other people can work and help you as well, because the connection group leaders facilitate us being able to draw closer to God and draw closer to one another, and also in the community. So that's why I know this works. The scripture passage we just read has so many teaching elements in it. This conversation with Peter happens after he denied Jesus three times. And then Jesus was crucified, rose again, and he finds Peter and some of the other disciples fishing. He calls out to them from the shore, and they realize it's Jesus. So when I study a scripture passage before I preach, I like to read the scriptures prior to and also the scriptures behind it, so that I can get the context of what is being said in the scripture. So I learned something for the first time, and I'm going to share it with you. I mean, it's pretty incredible. So I read the scripture before, and it talks about where Jesus is on the side of Galilee, and he is preparing a fire, and he sees the disciples that are out fishing. They've gone back to fishing. And so he calls to them, and they realize it's Jesus. So Peter jumps in the water, and he goes as fast as he can to get to Jesus. And then the other disciples come as well. Well, in the last scripture of verse 20, it says that This was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples, which is part of my introduction. So again, this was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. And Jesus asked Peter three times in the scripture passage if he loved him. He also reinstates Peter's calling three times. Doesn't that sound familiar? Because Peter denied Jesus three times. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. It's just, I thought that was so interesting. I had never read that these things that happened, these moments happened, and it was three, three, three. Isn't that incredible? If you are smarter than me and you know how to dig into this, I would challenge you and encourage you to figure out if that means something and then let me know. But I just thought it was an incredible thing to discover, because you can always discover something new in God's word. So, but Jesus knew Peter needed special attention personally and in front of the other disciples because of his denial and the failure, guilt, and shame that came with that. See, the other disciples knew that Peter failed. The other disciples knew what he had done. So that's why it's important for Jesus to reinstate him in front of the disciples. So Jesus was taking Peter through a process of forgiveness and transformation emotionally, transformation of a mindset, and recommissioning his calling. What I want to show you today, though, is I want to look at the three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. But I also want to tell you the meaning of love. So in the Greek, there are four words for love. There's storge, which is family love. Phileo, which is friendship love, brotherly love. Eros, which is romantic love. And agape, which is unconditional, sacrificial love. Now, Peter had the terminology and types of love mixed up, just like we do today. We have the word love and what we're saying to each other or to someone mixed up. See, sometimes that's why some friendships and some other relationships don't last. It's because we're going into our relationship with eros instead of agape, or we're going into our relationship with phileo love instead of agape. So we too confuse it. But this is the first two times that Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, he was using agape love. But Peter responded with phileo love, which isn't the same type of love or commitment. The third time Jesus asked him if he loved him, Jesus used phileo love, and Peter was hurt. That's when I believe Peter realized the differences in the meaning of the word love and the commitment Jesus was using and calling him to. I also believe this is when Peter realized he was forgiven, delivered, and healed. He was able to let go of his guilt, his shame, and failure, so that Peter never went back to fishing again. And I'm not talking about the occupation. I'm talking about the state of mind. And Jesus' love for Peter hadn't changed, and neither did the call of God that Jesus had on Peter's life. And he never went back to fishing. Have you ever felt like Peter? The guilt, the shame of failure, and going back to your old ways? Because it's those things in our lives that will keep us from going, that will keep us from doing what God's called us to do, to move forward, and it will cause us to go back to where we came from, back to a state of mind. And it's very difficult to stay in relationship with God when we go back. So today, what I'm going to attempt to do is to ask you the same questions that Jesus asked Peter. I'm speaking to myself as well. When we want to grow and develop our relationship with Christ, my first point is, and in the parentheses, you see your name. Put your name in there. Do you love me? Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Jesus wants to be number one in our lives. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. Matthew 6, 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we put God first, other things, people, and priorities will fall into their proper place. It's our responsibility on a personal level to choose whether or not we want to become a follower of Christ. I had to choose whether or not I wanted to be a follower of Christ. Many of you chose to be a follower of Christ, but it's our own responsibility to choose. No one else can choose for you, and you and myself, we have to develop our own agape love, which is unconditional, sacrificial love for Jesus. This love will keep you from returning to your old ways. It will keep you from going back fishing, and it will keep you on the right path because you don't live there anymore. You don't live where you have come from. You don't live there anymore. It's a mindset. You don't live there anymore. What has taken you from being able to serve Christ, you don't live there anymore. So number two is, again, put your name in the parentheses and ask Jesus, or as Jesus is asking you, the second time, do you love me? Jesus again asked Peter this question using agape love, and Peter again answers with brotherly friendship kind of love. That type of love will not sustain your faith. And the lesson that we can receive from this question the second time is to get around people who won't let you quit. That's why I believe Jesus recommissions Peter's calling in front of the other disciples, so they could say, Peter, we were there when Jesus forgave you. Peter, we were there when you let go of the guilt and the shame and the failure. Peter, we were there when Jesus recommissioned you to his calling. See, they could remind him, and I believe this is where the transformation in him took place. Even when he made mistakes, he learned from his mistakes, and he learned to keep going because others were helping him and encouraging him. See, he surrounded himself with those who could speak into his life, offering constructive criticism, and he accepted that constructive criticism and encouraged him not to quit. Galatians 6, 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's in our human nature, it's in our flesh, that when we fail or embarrass ourselves or try to make better choices and decisions, and because it didn't work in our terms, we go back to our old life. We say, see, that Christianity doesn't work. So we go back to old ways of thinking. And this is the battle each and every day, that when we fail or when we do something that God, that we know is something that God didn't want us to do, it's the battle. It's the battle of thinking that God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore, that he won't forgive, that he won't recommission you to the calling. It's our battle that we face. See, it's our responsibility to get around other followers of Christ so that we can learn to follow Jesus. And that's what connection groups are designed for, to offer everyone a place and a purpose in the family of God, here in the Bridge family. That's why we have so many connection groups, because we want you to become a part of our family. And everyone, we know that everyone has different interests. So that's why we have learning groups, we have fellowship groups, we have community groups, we have serving groups, we have all these different groups, so that you can be interested and grow in your faith. And surround yourself with people when you fail, especially when you fail. Look at your partner and say, look at your partner. Look at the neighbor next to you and say, I have failed. We all have failed. But with agape love for one another, you won't quit. And agape love for Jesus will also encourage you not to quit. We provide the opportunity in our connection groups for you to join a group. But we cannot take the initiative for you to sign up and show up. But we offer groups for you to become involved. The third time Jesus asked Peter, and put your name again in the parentheses, do you love me? Lisa, do you love me? The third time Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, Jesus used phileo love, which is brotherly love, friendship love, and it brought Peter pain and sorrow. Jesus is asking, do we love him unconditionally, even when we don't understand? Or is he just an acquaintance that you can walk away from? When your faith and the truth of God's word gets challenged and life gets tough. See, this is the moment of transformation in Peter's life. He came to the end of himself and he realized his need for agape love for Jesus, committed and unconditional. And through this process, Peter experienced a new dimension of the presence and the power of Jesus. He was no longer ashamed of his relationship with Jesus. See, Jesus wants to take you through that same process so that you can stand up and say, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of who Jesus is or what Jesus has done for me. And that's how we develop agape love, because we can enter that presence and power by the Holy Spirit. And Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. That's growth. That's growth. That we see Peter transition into growth. And then that's how we too can grow in our faith and walk with Jesus. It's growth. And my last point is Jesus said, but it will take a while. I'm like, Pastor Greg, it is a long point. But Jesus said, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And I think it's very interesting. And I love the fact that that scripture comes from one of the scriptures that Peter wrote, because he knew. He'd been there. He is a chosen person, and we are chosen people. And first, Jesus says at the beginning of this scripture passage, when he is reinstating Peter, he says, feed my lambs. And today, if you have failed or you feel like God can't use you, he's reinstating you today. Feed my lambs. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, and lambs that are mentioned in this scripture passage are new believers. They need the milk of God's word, not a steak. Hopefully I didn't make everybody hungry. They need the milk of his word, not a steak. See, we cannot expect new followers of Christ to be where we are spiritually. And sometimes we do expect that. Why don't they know? Well, they should know. Well, I ask you, did you know? You know, I'm so thankful that back in my day, they didn't have social media. How many of you are thankful they didn't have social media back in the day? Look at the hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Yes, thank God that they didn't have social media to be able to post all of Lisa's failures and sin. Obviously, this is before Pastor Greg. But yes, I have sinned after being married to Pastor Greg, and even after becoming a pastor. Have you?
Yes.
Okay. If he had said no, I was going to share with you. We were going to have a coming to Jesus moment. But sometimes that is the mistake that we make with new believers, that they should be where we are. And Titus 3:3-7, it says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And just as we have been justified by grace, we need to give grace to those who have failed, those who may not know as much as we do. those who may have walked a different path than us, showing them grace and walking alongside of them so they can develop their relationship with God. And then the third time, Jesus says to Peter, and he's saying to you and me as well, take care of my sheep. John 13, 34 through 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you love one another. See, connection groups are where we care for one another. The pastoral team cannot care for everybody of the needs that need to be cared for. So our connection group leaders help us care for you. And the last time I spoke about connection groups, I said that I know that people are being cared for if you are part of a group. Because that's what they do. All types of groups, they care for one another. And that's why we are intentional to help you understand why you need to be in a group. And then my third is, Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And then also Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, we've heard that scripture over and over. It's a very familiar, but studying God's word together is how we sharpen one another. And it's how we build our relationship with God, is studying his word together. There are connection group leaders that I have asked to be a connection group. And some I've asked to be, to teach a learning group of the Bible. And this is usually, typically, their first response. I don't know the Bible enough. I don't know scripture that I can quote enough. So I'm going to tell something on me. Is, you all know I do Grow Track on Sunday afternoon. Several of you have taken Grow Track. There are times when someone will ask me a question about scripture or what does the church feel about this scripture. And I have to say, I don't know. I don't know. It used to embarrass me to say, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that question. But now I say, I don't know, and I'll let you know next week. And then I say in a jokingly way, I will ask my commentary husband. And he will tell me what the answer to your question is. And then my commentary pastor, if you just got that, my husband is the pastor. So as my husband, he would not answer the question for me. He said, you look it up, you research it, you figure it out. Okay then. And that's my answer back to him as my husband, not as my pastor. And he says, once you know what the answer is, then share it with me and we can talk about it. And so eventually, after I research it, find the answer, I present it to him and he tells me or he corrects what I've missed. But you do not need a biblical degree to feed Jesus's sheep. It's our responsibility to step out in faith to help others grow in their faith. See, we accomplish this by discipling new believers, using our gifts to be able to care for one another. That's why the Holy Spirit imparts gifts upon us for others, so that we can serve and care others. And also by studying and learning God's word together. That's how you learn scripture, studying God's word together. God wants us to invest in the only thing that lasts forever, and that's people. Nothing lasts for eternity except human beings, and God's will for mankind is for none to perish. And I know sometimes you might have a coworker or family member that's not very friendly or kind, and you don't like that when God says, I don't want anyone to perish, and you're because you're thinking, just wait till you meet God. Someone who cuts you off in traffic, yeah, wait till you meet God. But God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants us to love everyone, just like He loves everyone. Now, I don't like everybody, but God calls me to love everybody. So we kind of get that confused as well. We are to love everyone. It doesn't mean we have to run around with everyone, but we love one another so that those out in the community can see that we are Jesus's disciples. But it gives you the opportunity when you love others and serve in the body of Christ, the opportunity to fulfill God's life, to fulfill God's plan in their lives and other people. This is agape love for Jesus and others. Agape love is love at the highest level. Love of choice, not an obligation, sacrificial. Love of mankind. Agape love is unconditional, giving freely without expecting anything in return. Jesus displayed agape love for all of us on the cross. And it was that type of love that kept him there for me and you to sacrifice for our sins. It is that type of love. Would you please stand with me as we pray? Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray for the healing that needs to take place in people's lives. It's not about where they started, it's about where they finish. And I thank you for that. I thank you for those that are here today to hear your word and how you love them and how you are asking them to feed your sheep. We praise you for that. At this time, if you'll keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask and give you the opportunity if you would like to accept Christ today before I pray. Is there anyone here today that you would like us to pray with you to receive Jesus? Before I pray also, I would just like to encourage you to develop agape love for Jesus if you have not or you don't understand. And take the opportunity to talk to a connection group leader. You know, connection groups can be one-on-one, they can be in a group, or they can serve out in the community together. But talk to somebody, sign up for a group so you can develop your walk with the Lord and be able to serve others. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much again for who you are. Bless your people. Anoint them for service. God, may they see what you can do, Holy Spirit, in them and through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, Pastor Greg is going to come and he is going to pray the blessing over you. But at this time, if you are a connection group leader, I would just invite you to please go to the lobby area so that you can stand by your connection group and talk to folks who might have questions about connection groups.
We're dismissing a few minutes early because we want to allow you time to make connections, to check groups out, to talk to these leaders today. So come on, lift your hands today as I say the blessing and we will be dismissed. I bless you in the name of the Lord. May He bless you in this city and in this county. May the fruit of your womb and the crops of your land and all your livestock be blessed. May He bless the work of your hands at home, at work, at church, in this community. May He bless your coming and your going. May the Lord grant the enemies that are rising up against you be defeated. When they come at you in one direction, let them flee from you in seven directions. May the Lord send a blessing on everything you put your hand to do. May He continue to establish you as His holy people. May all people see you've been called by the name of the Lord. May the Lord grant you prosperity, opening up the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty. May He bless the work of your hands. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody give a shout of amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
The authority in Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles are breaking out. I have the authority and Jesus has given me.